Well, today we're beginning week one of Jesus is King. When I was thinking about this series and how to open it up, I immediately thought of where we're at in culture right now. Our culture teaches something very specific. It teaches all of us at every age something along the lines of prove yourself. It teaches to achieve more, perform well, then you'll matter. When we think about it, even growing up as kids, it's ingrained in us from a young age. Get good grades, win the game, make the money, build the platform, be impressive. And then all of a sudden over time, this idea, we begin to internalize it and believe it. And when we do, we start believing this: my value is tied to what I do. My value is tied to what I do. Think about it. If I succeed, the world says I'm valuable. If I fail, I'm less than. And what happens is, if we're not careful, this idea that so many of us live in and subconsciously believe and align our lives with, if we're not careful, this will begin to work its way into a Christian faith that was never meant to have that ideology. Because when we stand before God today, it's not the long list of all of our accomplishments. He just wants us. And when I think about this idea, it takes us right into this sermon series, because Jesus flips that whole idea on its head. So beginning today, we're gonna go chronological. Obviously, over 7 weeks, we've got to pick and choose a little bit of where we're going. So I'm starting in Matthew chapter 3, and the story we're gonna start with is the story of Jesus's baptism. A lot has happened already in Jesus's life by the time we get to Matthew chapter 3, though. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is already 30 years old. So obviously, we've already gone through the birth narrative, all the Christmas stuff. We've gone through the different beginning of the first couple chapters of each of the Gospels. Today, we'll be in Matthew, though. And when you think about Jesus being 30 years old, there are a lot of years of Jesus's life that we have no record of. There's a lot of speculation out there. There's a lot of things, but we do know a few things. Jesus worked an occupation with his hands, whether it was carpentry. Some people think it might've been masonry, but whether Jesus was a mason or a carpenter, he is a manual laborer working with his hands in his father's trade. I often think about his life as a child and a teenager and how honestly awkward it would be to be a parent of Jesus, the Son of God. He had siblings. Can you imagine being in that family when Jesus is growing up? Some of you think it's hard to parent your children. Can you think about how the dynamics of parenting the Son of God next to his siblings? And his siblings, you're saying, hey, you need to not sin. And then you're looking at Jesus going, yeah, I know you don't, but you know, just be a good example. I mean, you're working all these different angles with Jesus, and I know in every single one of our families, there's a favorite sibling, but you don't have Son of God favorite sibling in your family. That they're dealing with all kinds of things. But Jesus is 30 years old at this story, all that to say. And he's coming on to the scene, and this is really the introduction to Jesus's public ministry. At this time, I think it's important for us to know that Jesus had performed no miracles. He had taught no lessons, really. I mean, as far as preaching concerns, Jesus had nothing really going on. He had been in obscurity for almost 30 years of Jesus's life up until this point. There's no spotlight. There's no crowds, nothing. And then Matthew chapter 3. So in this story, though, there's another person, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is Jesus's cousin. John the Baptist is a character when you look at him in scripture. He is, at this point, an extremely famous preacher. He's drawing large crowds. John the Baptist ate locusts and honey, lived in the wilderness, smelled very bad. The Bible doesn't say that, but you just know it's true. And he's just a strange dude. He's not somebody you would naturally be attracted to go, I want to go listen to that guy preach. But people by the thousands were being drawn to him. John the Baptist was preaching a tough message of repentance. He was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's preaching a tough message. He's calling Israel back to God. He's baptizing crowds in the Jordan River. And this is what's so fascinating. where he was baptizing people and preaching was between an 8 to 10 day walk in the blistering sun with very little shade for people coming from Jerusalem. I mean, we think it's a big deal. I mean, we people from Albuquerque, it's like, man, I've got to drive to the west side. I've got to drive to church across town, you know, whatever it is. They're walking 8 to 10 days to hear these messages and to experience revival. There was a spiritual hunger that was in the air. John the Baptist was very famous. And into that exact moment, Jesus enters the scene to be baptized. Remember, Jesus had never preached. He had not healed anyone at this point. He was not a leader of anyone at this point. He had not died on the cross. He had not come out of the grave. Nothing. And this is the scene he comes into. And God speaks to him in this story. And what God says changes everything. It changed everything back then, and it still changes everything today. So I want to tell you this story, this lengthy story, instead of reading it. And many of you are familiar with it, but it's pretty simple. Jesus is walking up onto the scene where John the Baptist is already preaching. John the Baptist has crowds around, and as Jesus approaches, what we see in the book of John, this portion of the story, John the Baptist points at Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to save us of our sins." So Jesus is walking into this massive group of people, and immediately the spotlight is on him. It's on him. And Jesus walks among the people, and he walks into the water, and he says, "John, I want you to baptize me." And John is very taken back by this, and I'll explain it in a few minutes. And he says, "Jesus, I shouldn't be the one baptizing you. You should be the one baptizing me." And Jesus says, "No, we will do it this way because this is what God expects. We're doing this to obey God." And John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And when Jesus comes out of the water, one of the coolest scenes in the entire Bible. The Bible says in Matthew 3 that the heavens opened up and the booming voice of God the Father, looking down at Jesus, says, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That is unbelievably important, and we're coming back to it. Right then, it says the Holy Spirit began to descend like a dove to rest on Jesus. This is one of the unique stories in Scripture where all three persons of the Trinity are present. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father are present, in tangibly present in one story. And as the dove comes down, but this is what's interesting, the Bible never says the Holy Spirit came down as a dove. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove. I know there's a dove behind me, but it probably wasn't an actual dove. What it's probably showing us is that the almighty power of the Holy Spirit delicately came to rest on Jesus, like in the exact same way the Holy Spirit comes to rest on us, being delicate and then all powerful. And it's like a dove. And Jesus comes out of the water. And as Jesus comes out of the water, now his public life as the Son of God, his public ministry is beginning. And next week, I'm going to pick up in the very next first verse of the next chapter. So make sure you're here next week to continue the story. So before I get into the points today, I want to be very clear about where I'm going in the message today. At the end, the reason why our worship was cut a little bit short is my message is going to end early today. And we're going to have baptisms at the end of service. And we're going to be worshiping through baptisms. There are already people who have pre-signed up. This is one of our baptism Sundays. They'll be baptizing. But full disclosure, where I'm going with this message, I'm going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus. And at the end, I'm going to give people an opportunity to receive Christ today. And whether you receive Christ today or maybe you have in the past, but you've never gone public with your faith through water baptism, we're going to give you an opportunity today to be baptized. We have everything taken care of for you, all the clothes, all the toiletries you could possibly need. So I wanted to tell you that at the beginning because I think God is already working on some people's hearts today. And this could be a day you could have your entire church family at all three locations celebrating with you going public through water baptism. So today, if you're taking notes, we're just looking at the story of Jesus's baptism and what we learned from it. And number one is this: Jesus was affirmed before he ever achieved. He was affirmed before he ever achieved. Matthew 3:17 from the story says this, "This is my beloved son." This is God the Father. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." There's some people that need to hear this today. Get me on this. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, he's our teacher, but he's also the model in scripture for us to follow our lives after. How God treats Jesus is how God sees and treats us as believers in Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this today, because some of you today just need to hear that God is pleased with you. He's pleased with you and he loves you. I want you to think about this with Jesus though. At this moment in Jesus's life, again, he has preached no sermons, performed no miracles. He had no disciples, no platform, no movement had begun. There was nothing he had done to earn God the Father saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." God wanted to declare that he is pleased with us, not based on what we do, but based on who we believe in, Jesus Christ. I think we can clap to that. One of you started trying, and I'm just gonna give you permission. But God said, "I'm pleased." I want you to write this down, or you can take a picture of it too. This is important. Before performance, there was approval. Before platform, there was belonging. Before impact, there was identity. And again, this isn't just his story, it needs to be yours. Before performance, you need to sense and know you have the approval of God. Before platform, you need to have the sense of belonging to God and the family of God. Before impact, you need to know where you've placed your identity. N.T. Wright, the great New Testament theologian, said this: "At Jesus's baptism, the Father publicly defines his identity and mission before he ever acts. Jesus is affirmed first, then sent. His ministry begins with people being loved, begins with being loved, not proving himself." Isn't that amazing? Jesus's entire ministry began with one simple thing: God the Father saying, "I love you and I'm pleased." Did you know that I've been praying for you all week, and I believe there's some people in here, you're stuck in your walk with God and belief in God because there's never been a day where you stopped and just understood how much God loves you. And I know that sounds cliche, but I do believe there are people here at North and at our Maui campus that if you don't get anything else out of today, you need to get out of this that God loves you. And through faith in Jesus Christ, he approves. He approves. Romans 3:22-24 says, "Everyone who believes has God's approval through faith in Jesus Christ." I'm gonna read that again, it's so important. "Everyone who believes has God's approval through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no difference between people because all people have sinned. They've all fallen short of God's glory. They receive God's approval freely by an act of his kindness through the price Christ Jesus paid to set us free from sin." Nowhere in that does it say we set ourselves free. Nowhere in that does it describe the work we do to get God's approval. It describes the work Jesus did, and the only thing we do in this scripture is put our faith in Jesus, because he has done everything. So the teaching point for point one is simply this: we work from approval, not for approval. And there are way too many Christians, based on how I began this message, there are way too many Christians that are working for approval because of what's been imposed on us by culture. Culture says you're valuable based on how much work you do. The Christian faith says you are valuable because God loves you, created you, and also he approves of you because of the work Jesus has done, not any work you can do. That is the anthem of the gospel. But too many people believe it's up to me. I've got to earn the approval. Why? Because you had to earn the approval of a father who didn't give it to you. You had to earn the approval of a mom, of an aunt, of an uncle, of a coach, of teachers who constantly looked over you. And all of those feelings are being brought into your Christian faith. And God wants you to know today, I love you. And through Jesus, I approve. I approve. It's so unbelievably important that we get that. I think when we think about this story, what's happening at this scene of Jesus's baptism is extremely important. I want you to think about this. Jesus is not in this story just standing on the bank of the river. He steps into the water, which leads us to the second thing we learn from this story. Jesus chose humility over status. He chose humility over status. And I think Jesus today is asking the same thing of all of us. Whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ today or not, he's asking that of us. Matthew 3:14 from the story said this, when Jesus gets into the water, but John tried to deter him saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? He's confused. Say, hold on, Jesus. I just said to everyone, you're the Lamb of God. You should come into the water and say, I've got this, guys. I'm now in charge. I'm gonna be baptizing. But he walks in and says, John, I want you to baptize me. This is why this is so confusing to John, though. Here it is. Baptism, he was preaching messages of repentance. This was a baptism of repentance. And Jesus has nothing to repent of. So John's going, Jesus, I think you're sending the wrong signal here, man. I just said you're the Son of God, and then you're getting in here with sinners. You're getting in here with sinners, Jesus. What are you doing? I want you to picture the scene. Jesus is walking up after that intro. The spotlight's on him. Behold, the Lamb of God who's come to save us from the sins of the world. Jesus is walking up. It's like, thank you. Yeah, cool, yep. And then he just walks over where everyone else is in line, all the hundreds of people, he just gets in line. Really think about this. And he's just, somebody gets baptized and he just steps. And people are looking at him going, is this really, why is he in line to be baptized with sinners? Why is he standing behind the person I know that was addicted? Why is he standing behind the person that was demon-possessed? Why is he standing in front of the woman that was sleeping around? Why is Jesus in line with all the sinners going into the water? Because this story is not about Jesus needing the baptism of repentance. The story is about Jesus declaring in one story the entire picture of the incarnation. That Jesus came from perfection into our world to walk and stand among us through humility. He could have easily in this story stood on the side of the river and said, John, step to the side. I am now presiding over everything happening. I'm the Lord. I'm gonna be doing this. I'm gonna now be in charge and tell people who's gonna be baptizing. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. He gets right in line with the broken, the ashamed, the confessing, the desperate. He gets in line. Why? Because this is the picture of the gospel. The sinless Son of God stands among sinners. He doesn't separate himself. He identifies with us. That's the gospel. And are you grateful for the gospel today? He didn't care if people, what people were thinking and saying about him. He knew he didn't need to repent of anything. He wanted everyone to know, I'm here, I'm among you. And I love you. St. Augustine said this about the story. Jesus was baptized, not to be cleansed, but to cleanse the waters for us. That's why he was baptized. So now we can step into faith with him and be cleansed by the one who cleansed everything. Jesus didn't save us from a distance. He stepped into our lives. Not just generally speaking, I really want you to take this in a personal way today. Every person, I want you to understand that Jesus stepped into your life. He loved you, scripture says, while you were still yet a sinner. And I'm grateful that's how it is for me as well. He stepped into my life. He's stepping into your life, not to bring judgment, but to show you I love you. And through faith in him, you can have the approval. Jesus knew exactly who he was. But what we see in the story is he didn't want to keep it private. He wanted to go public. He stepped into the waters in humility to show he's among us. But at the same time, he confidently steps into the waters because he wanted people to know, yes, I'm here. I'm the Son of God, because he knew the heavens were about to open. And he wanted to publicly express what John had just declared. He is the Lamb of God. Which leads us to the third thing we learn from this story. Jesus expressed his identity through visible obedience. He expressed his identity as the Son of God, who he was, through visible obedience. So again, why was Jesus baptized? We already went through this, but I'm gonna say it again. He didn't need it for salvation. He didn't need it for forgiveness. He didn't need it for approval. He did it for obedience, to step into the waters with us, but also to obey God. How do we know this? Because Matthew 3:15, in Jesus and John's exchange in that conversation, Jesus said this. When John was saying, I don't want to baptize you, Jesus said, let it be so now. We should do all things that are God's will. So yes, he's the Son of God. Yes, he's our teacher, but he's also the model for us and how we should live. What Jesus is saying is, look, I'm getting baptized. The bottom line is God the Father expects it. And I think it should be the same for us. What God expects us to do, we need to do. And again, new identity is not just believed. It's lived, it's declared, it's demonstrated. And that's what Jesus is showing us. We can't just come into church and go, I'm a Christian, and worship, and then walk out and not demonstrate our faith anywhere. I'm not talking about being perfect. Grace is big, for sure. But I am saying, the Bible says you will know them, believers, by their what? Fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. So when we walk out of these doors, a faith that's actually believed comes out. And it's demonstrated, it's declared. And Jesus is saying, look, I know, I believe I'm the Son of God, and I'm going into the waters because I wanna be with you. And I'm also going into the waters because I know what's publicly about to happen, and I'm going to declare. And he knew the end of that road meant his death, and he did it anyways. That was his moment of going public, saying, this is who I am. It was the beginning of his ministry. I want us to remember this, and if you want to write it down, you can. Private identity must become visible obedience. It must. It's the outcome. The Christian faith is never a faith ever, ever, ever described in the entire Bible as something that can stay private. That is an Americanized, Westernized thought that's only come on in the last 100 years, where people go, my faith is private. There's never a description of that ever in Scripture. What we believe and hear about anything in life, what we really believe comes out. What's inside shows up outside. What's settled gets lived. And I want to ask you today, have you settled your faith? It's settled. I'm no longer 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm testing the waters. I want to see about this God thing, about the church thing. I think eventually, and maybe today's the day, you just have to go, I'm settling it. I'm settling it. I'm settling who I am standing before God. I'm settling my eternity. I'm settling my identity. But what's settled gets lived. What's private in our Christian faith becomes public. What's believed gets obeyed. What's on the inside eventually overflows to the outside. My youngest daughter had a basketball game this weekend. It's sixth grade girls. And this game got intense. To the point where I'm a pretty reserved guy, honestly, in life. You know, like, I'm down there, like, it's discipline for me to raise my hands. I love God, but I'm like, all right, I'm not a demonstrative person. I'm singing loud, I'm raising my hand. Like, I'm worshiping God, right? I'm not normally a demonstrative person. In this game, I got so passionate, and I believed so much. I wanted my daughter to do well. I wanted her to win. What was in here came out. Nothing bad, just intense. I may have yelled at the ref, okay? I know. I yelled at the ref, and to the point where my oldest son turns around at me and goes, Dad, like, is that you? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Because the passion, what was happening, I had settled it. I believed it. I was in the moment, and what was on the inside overflowed to the outside. And I wanna ask you guys in all seriousness, where in your life outside of this room does your Christian faith overflow? At work, at school, on the team, who knows you're a Christian? Where are you living a different upside down life than other people? Again, it's not about being perfect, but it's about public declaration. And public declaration starts with baptism. It starts with baptism. The New Testament theologian and historian Craig Keener teaches that baptism, I love reading his stuff on history with ancient religions, because it's not just with the Christian faith. But any faith, ancient faith that involved baptism, all baptisms meant a visible loyalty to the God they served. And within the Christian faith, the beginning of baptism, the Christian baptism in the New Testament, baptism is a visible demonstration of something that's settled in here. I'm settling it. I'm going public with it. You could boil down this whole message simply to this. Religion says, obey and be loved. The gospel says, be loved and obey. Some of you are having such a hard time living according to the word of God because you're living according to what culture has taught you of do better, perform, achieve, perform. And this is being forced on us and you have the wrong thing propelling you in your life. Some of you today need to flip that around and say, I'm gonna start with being loved by God and I'm going to obey from love, not for approval. I'm gonna start today by putting my faith in Jesus where God opens up the heavens spiritually in my life and says, this is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased, getting the full approval of God through putting my faith in Jesus Christ. But some of us, we're bringing our resume to God and we've got to stop. I have a resume here and this is a resume and I don't know the last time you filled out a resume, made one and sent it out, but man, it's kind of vulnerable. Like you're filling out a resume and you're like, this is how great I am. You know, and then you get to the end of the list and you're like, it's not that great, but it's all right. I mean, you're listing everything, professional summary, core competencies, professional experience. I mean, we're listing everything you can possibly come up with. I mean, you're praying and going, God, technically, this isn't a lie, right? I mean, you're going through everything you can possibly come up with on this resume. And at the very end, you're like, hey, I've got some references too. I mean, you're getting vulnerable. You're putting this out going, pick me. Here's everything I've done. This is how great I am. Look at all my achievements. And you're putting out, pick me, please. Pick me, pick me, pick me. And this mentality is what so many people are doing at church. We're coming in going, God, look at the churches I've attended. Look at my attendance. God, I know I had that really bad season, but look at all the things I've been doing since that bad season. I've made up for it. Look at all it's balanced each other out. All the good I've done now balanced out all the bad for those 2 years, God. Do you approve? Do you approve, God? And we're coming to God saying, God, I promise I'm gonna be better this time. Look at my resume. And that's how we approach faith. And God's saying, I don't need your resume. You wanna know the difference between a resume and a birth certificate? A resume says what you do. The birth certificate says who and whose you are. Too many people are bringing a resume and God's saying, I don't need a resume. I need your birth certificate. And I'm the one who tells you who you are and it's my signature on that birth certificate. That's why Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus describes salvation as being born again. And how were we born again? By putting our faith in Jesus. I know when I'm talking about this today, for some of you coming from different church backgrounds, you're thinking this is too simple, it doesn't make sense. Are you sure this is good theology? I'm telling you, check my work from top to bottom. The gospel is Jesus has done all the work and all we have to do is put our faith in him and we will be saved. Romans 10, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. That's the truth for today. In a couple of minutes, we're gonna start baptisms and we're gonna sing and I'm also gonna give you the opportunity today to settle it spiritually and to bring our birth certificates, if you will, to God and to put our faith in Jesus today. But before I do, I wanna explain what baptism is very quickly. Water baptism, what it is in the Bible and for us. I think it's important for you to know baptism itself, water baptism does not save you. It shows that you're saved. There's only one path to salvation. Putting your faith in Jesus. It also does not make you a child of God. It declares that you're a child of God. It's faith made visible. Think about a wedding ring. I do a lot of weddings. Think about a wedding ring. I get to the end of the ceremony and it's such an important part and people are like, hurry, 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 because they just want to kiss and go. And I didn't say that last service. Think about a wedding ring though. The wedding ring doesn't make you married. The wedding ring shows that you are. What a wedding ring is to a marriage is what baptism is to our Christian faith. It doesn't save you. It just declares that you are. I'm taken. I'm God's. And I'm declaring to family and friends who I am today. So I'll probably never say this again, but I want you to look at the time real quick. Look at the clock. Never say that again, because normally I go long. We are ending short on purpose, and we're gonna go into baptisms, but what I want us to do today is we're gonna sing a few songs after I pray, and I'm gonna ask no one to leave any of the locations until the normal service time is ended. Because as people are being baptized, I don't want people to be baptized to an empty auditorium, because in the New Testament, they came together as a family and cheered when people were standing and stepping into the family of God. So if you would stand with me today, all three locations, if you would stand with me, and if you are someone in the room, any of the rooms that has pre-signed up to be baptized, why don't you go ahead and step out now, and you guys can make your way to start preparing for baptism. Today, I'm gonna ask you, every person here at North, at Maui, if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior and put your faith in Jesus. If you raise your hand, yes, I'm gonna give you the opportunity to be baptized, even if you didn't raise your hand today, but maybe in the past have put your faith in Jesus, but never been water baptized. Today's your day. Now, when I pray and say, hey, raise your hand if you would like to receive Christ to pray with me, don't not raise your hand if you're not ready to be baptized today. No one's gonna come tap you on the shoulder. No one's looking at you. No one's gonna ask you why you didn't. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you today, I believe, and I've been praying for you all week, today's your day if you've been hesitant to put your faith in Jesus. Today is the day. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I want us to pray today. And I want to include you in this final prayer if that's you. So on the count of three, if that's you, any of the locations, if you wanna put your faith in Jesus today, settle it spiritually. What Jesus did on the cross, confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in our hearts, God raised him from the dead and we'll be saved. Our eternity secure. If that's you today and you wanna be in right standing with God, would you just, on the count of three, raise your hand right where you are. One, two, three. Just be confident and bold right where you are and keep it up just for a moment. I wanna see, thank you, thank you. Keep them up just for a second. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome, awesome. Keep them up just for a second. Thank you, amazing, thank you. I see you up there too, thank you. Wow, thank you guys, right here. You can put them right back down. So cool. I know I can't see you at North in Maui, but our pastors there can, and as I pray, I want you to make this prayer your own. And when I get done praying, if you are one of those who want to be baptized today, again, we have everything taken care of. Last service and our early service here at Central, we had 8 people just decide spontaneously to be baptized. And we cheered with them in that service. And it's gonna be amazing. We may end up having to wait a few minutes in worship for everybody to get changed, but who cares? We're your family. And we want you to do this today. So let's pray for those that raised their hand today. And afterwards, I'll give you some next steps. Father, we thank you so much for today. And those that raised their hand to receive you, Jesus, today, we invite you into our lives, Jesus. We know that you're the Son of God. We recognize our sin and you are the Savior who can save us from it. We put our faith in you, Jesus, and recognize your work on the cross and that you're alive today and want relationship with me. Come into my life, make me new, change me, save me. I want to settle it today. I am now a son or daughter in Christ. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.